say welcome to episode 2 of Questions with Trees. Go for it.
What was I supposed to say?
Say welcome to episode 2 of Questions with Trees. Come on, your brother did it. He's 5. Good, ready? Go. This is it. You're an adult now. Deep breaths.
I can't. Oh, I was watching someone grocery shop.
On what?
YouTube.
Come on. Come on, let's go. You want a job in next summer. Ready? One simple sentence. Welcome to episode 2 of Questions with Trees. I hear you yapping with your friends all night. I know you can speak. Let's go.
I can't say it.
Don't sweat. Let's go.
I'm sweating.
Good. Improv.
Welcome.
I
forgot what it was.
To episode 2.
Welcome to episode 2 of Questions with Trees.
4 trees.
Oh my god.
4 trees.
Welcome to episode 2 of Questions for Trees.
Boom. Nailed it.
Who's going to have questions for you?
No, apparently nobody. Nobody's writing me shit. All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. This is probably the final episode of the show. So maybe if I do an episode 3, I'll have your mom record something.
Oh, God. She'll start telling a story.
She will. Not as good as mine. All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'll write you a question. You're
right. Okay.
Just so you don't feel bad.
Thank you. I love you.
Sure.
Yeah, your brother screaming in the bathroom?
I love you too.
Bye bye. Thank you. Did I just pop my tire? I don't think I did. Nope, I'm good. The tire is intact, people. It's Trees. What's up? Questions for Trees. Part 2. Episode 2. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see if we get more questions. I only have 2. And I think so far, after episode 1, I really thought it would be just a windfall. Just a tidal wave of questions coming my way. But yeah, nothing. Nothing. So, but it doesn't matter. I'm here to take on another one. I have time to kill. I've just dropped my daughter off at the Cheer Legacy Gym in beautiful downtown Taunton, Massachusetts. I'm only kidding. It's a shithole. You know, not all of it. Like all towns, there's good parts and bad parts. And I'm in, I don't know if this is, I'm in a parking lot. She went inside this big, giant, it's basically a big warehouse that looks like it's like nothing but corrugated metal around it holding it together. And you literally go in there and there's like batting cages upstairs and like this gym where, you know, cheerleaders practice, and there's no air conditioning. It's insane. Like, they actually close the place once in a while because it's so hot up there. I brought her before, and I went to sit up there, and I felt so fucking out of place because it's like, you know those shows with, like, chair moms and shit where they all sit and fucking, you can see them mimicking the moves of their kids, like, doing the practice, and it's like they're reliving all their failures. And it's like, I can't do it. And I was up there, and I felt funny because there's a open back room where the girls come and put their shit, and like they're not changing, it's not a changing room, but it's like they're all chilling, and I'm like a middle-aged dude up there playing on my phone, sweating through my clothes, and I'm like, yeah, I'll be in the car from now on. That was weird. And so I'm outside, and it's like this place is surrounded by like looks like condemned buildings, and the Cheer Legacy little strip of parking is full. So I said, oh, I'll park over in this parking lot, and proceeded to drive over broken windows that someone kicked out of this warehouse. And So now I'm a little, I can still see the place. So if my daughter comes out and texts me, I can see her, but I'm across the street. There's a beautiful little river and a little like park, you know, in the middle of like despair. The town scraps up enough money and puts a plaque up and they make a nice, like enough grass and pavement and to put a picnic table and like, you know, a dedication plaque. I'm over there. There's this little like park, and I'm like, I'm in their little parking lot because it's clean and nice, and I, you know. But anyways, here we are. This is where I'm at. Gonna answer some questions, and you know, it's fitting because the question I believe is about cheer, and I want to iterate that these aren't, if you're sending in timed questions, like, you know, anything like, hey, I don't know, anything that you need an immediate response to, that's not happening. So, you know, and let me back out here. Let me find my emails here, because there's one email that I've had forever, and I felt bad. I try to reply to everybody in the email and be like, hey, you know, question received. I didn't forget about you. You know, it will get answered sometime. Let me find it. I'm very prepared. Here we go. Let's see. So this is from Ed. I don't know. I'm not going to say last names. I don't know if anybody gives a shit or anything. But we'll say Ed. And his subject is, where did the money end up? All right? Says, Trees, I wanted to ask you, if you and your wife ever found out where all the cheerleading money went. Last I remember, there was a meeting at the school, but not sure if there was ever an update on that. Bizarre story. Yeah. I don't know if it's a bizarre story. It's a sad story. Pathetic story. You know what I mean? Of adults. Acting fucking sad. You know what it is? It's all people that were like, their heyday was in high school. You know what I'm saying? And I don't even want to include my wife in that, but it's a little true. Like, you know, high school and college was like the time. And like, these people, the people that get on these boards of like cheerleading boards and coaching boards and all, it's like, you know, you'll find one or two good eggs that are there for the kids, but most of them are just like, yeah, they just need to be around that atmosphere because they think it's sort of like, you know, they're important to it, and it's brutal. So for people who don't know, I've talked about in the story, my wife is, for a better lack of a term, a busybody. I love her to death. We are opposite. But she is go, 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 go. You know, she's on like our homeowners association board. So she goes to those meetings. She's on, you know, cheerleading board. She's assistant coach of football and cheerleading. Like it's like she just doesn't stop. It's brutal. If there's empty space, she fills it. And so she, you know, she helped my daughter, our daughter cheerlead. All the way since she was like six-ish, seven-ish, in the youth league, in the town league. But when my daughter hit high school age, you know, there's no more youth league. They go to high school, and then that's a whole different program, right? They're in the high school chair and teams and all that shit. So my wife thought, how can I be a part of this and glom onto this shit? So she's like, I'll join the boosters, all right? And what the boosters are, if anything, is like... they're affiliated, but they're not directly affiliated with the school. But it's like, they're the ones that do all the fundraising and, you know, decorate the bus and decorate functions and do that. And they get money from the parents and they use that money for clothes and equipment, right? Or like if the girls go to Florida for like a cheerleading like competition, like that money's all supposed to be there. And that money's also used for like, choreography, dance instructors, choreography, saying that wrong, I know, it's not funny. Shit like that, right? The music, because apparently if you don't know, if you're not in the know like me, chair music is fucking a racket and a half, man. You want to talk about a scam? Like a scam of money? So it's like, there's websites you can go to and companies you can go to that make chair music, and it's like that fast smash cut, like different songs all spliced together. You know, you ready for this? All that nonsense. You're like, Jesus Christ. And they're like, and they do their routines to them. Those fucking songs, man, like, because it's all licensed music and these people splice them together and they're, I don't know, licensed to do it. Dude, those songs are like $100. They could be like $100 for one song. You buy the license to it so you can use it for that one. It's ridiculous, man. I'm like, you know, I could make these. I'm a, you know, fuck, I could make those on a Chromebook. I can make them on my phone. But whatever, it's ridiculous. Anyways, that's what all this booster money is supposed to be used for. And my wife is very thorough, right? She's done fundraisers most of her adult life. She's in the insurance game. That's her job. So, like, she has contacts throughout cities, different cities. She knows boards. She knows everything. Companies. So when she gets in a situation where everybody's half-assed and don't know what's going on, she has a tendency to want to sort of take over shit, which is understandable, especially if you join something and it's so disheveled and you ask a question and they have no idea what you're talking about and you're like, yeah, you know, this is like part of your bylaws and shit. So anyway, she jumped on this board and she was like just a helper, and there was a president and a treasury secretary lady, and they were sort of like hand-in-hand cahoots. One was like real mean. She's always been mean. She's been around us a long time because all the kids grew up together. And then she's just a loudmouth. And the secretary's like her little toady, does whatever she wants. And my wife was just like confused when she started really getting into it. And she had asked them about, like, you know, accounts and bank accounts and, you know, how much did we spend on this and can we spend that? And they'd be like, we don't have money. She's like, well, why don't we have money? And none of them, and they do, you know, when people are up to no good, they're like, we'll get back to you. Well, I don't have that bank record now, but we'll get it to you. And then they never do. And it turned into that. And so the more questions my wife asked, the more agitated they became with her and started shutting her out of shit. And that kept going on for a while. And then, of course, these two women know all the coaches and stuff, so they got the air of the coaches, and then we've kind of heard around town, you know, my wife getting a bad name from these women, and then the coaches started treating my daughter differently, a little harsher, as you will. And I almost was getting mad at my wife, because I was like, can you, like, this is her time. Can you, like, get the fuck out of all this mess and just not do anything? But it's not her nature, so is what it is. And so then it all came to a head where my wife said, you know what, I'll run for president, because these two ladies, the main president lady's leaving, like her kids are graduating, so we're gonna, you know, I'm gonna run. Her best friend was vice president already, and she was starting to catch the flack, and like her daughter was starting to get treated a little rough by the coaches. It was a big mess, right? So, you know, my wife said, I'm gonna run. We're not gonna tell them. I'm just gonna run. And so, it was my wife got friends to go, and, you know, we know a lot of people in town. And so my wife showed up for this booster club meeting, which no one ever goes to, but I guess the town hall or whatever the fuck it was at, the school was packed. And these two ladies basically recruited, like, you know, family members, people that never even gone to the school, and they had some loophole written in the bylaws where, like, if you fill out this, like, slip, you get permission to vote for being an extended family member. So they had all these things filled out from, like, months before, people no one ever heard of, and all these people showed up, and then they told my wife and all her friends, like, you know, you know, some other loophole where, oh, you can't, you guys can't vote. It's like right out of a movie, like the big coup. It was crazy. And I was like, and then people were like standing up and screaming. They're like, what do you mean we can't vote? Our parent, our kids actually go in this program and you're saying we have no say, but Billy Bob over here that we've never seen before can vote. So it was a big mess. And at the end of the day, my wife lost, right? By like 4 votes. And then it turned out that there was more votes and people that were voted. Like there was all types of nonsense and the place erupted into chaos and all this shit. And then, so then it turns out that, you know, there's no money for the beginning of, for this year coming up, there's no money. And then my wife and this other lady actually went to the school and talked to the director and stuff, even though he can't do much. But if they said, you know, if they are taking money from parents, then they are supposed to legally have these separate bank accounts and stuff. So anyways, the whole thing was supposed to get looked into, but I don't think any of you know, anything came of it that we know of. But it is funny because my wife runs into people now in town. Like this happened last week at one of the parties. And this lady sat down. She goes, I need to apologize to you. She goes, I was at that meeting. She goes, you know, one of the ladies there told them that they had to go and vote. They have to make sure they vote. And basically, because I need the vote because basically your kids won't be able to participate in cheer. Like they lied to all these people. And she goes, and then I only found out after, like, who you were and, like, why we were there. And we apologize and, you know, real rough stuff. Crazy stuff. But no, to answer your question, Ed, no one knows what happened to any of this money. They spent it on shit. And that is a crazy story, though, isn't it? The only thing left is for, like, you know, one of the parents to murder, like, the head cheerleader that's better than that kid. You know, like, one of those Lifetime movies and shit? It's like, you know, and quite honestly, you know, my advice to my wife a year ago was these ladies will be gone by the end of this year. You know what I'm saying? So why don't you just step back and fuck off and let them do, and then they'll be gone. And then you can go in there fresh and with new parents coming in like you. And but she couldn't do it. And then she goes, so then the lady who doesn't even have a kid, I'm going to be graduating, or just graduated. She got voted in as, you know, she's staying on as, like, overseer. Oh, and then the kicker was, I didn't even mention this, but the person who won over my wife was the husband of the treasury lady. So, like, out of the blue, this dude just walks in, and he's running, and he gets, like, all the votes. And literally my wife made a speech about all her time and all the town sports and all the fundraisers, and this dude just stood up and goes, I don't know. I mean, I have daughters that go to the school, and you know, and yeah, he won. So now you have a president and his wife's the treasurer. So now you got two people that can handle all the money and make all the decisions, and they never have to show anybody nothing. It's bananas. It is like a movie though, isn't it? It's crazy. Fuck, it's hot out here. I don't know. What time is it? So she's in there for now 20 minutes. I just play on my phone, I guess. It's crowded. But, you know, that's the story, Ed. I don't know if it's bizarre, right? Because it's just, like I told my wife, you didn't see it coming because you're too nice. I would have saw that coming a mile away because I don't trust anybody. Everybody's up to no good. I would be like, those two ladies, because they were being nice to her, being quiet to her for like the last month or two before this happened. I was like, yeah, they're up to no good. They are going to fuck you over. Hardcore. And she's like, no, you know, I got all my paperwork and I'm going to go in there and just be honest. And I'm like, yep. There you go. I mean, that's an L. It's a guaranteed L. God damn it. No, one lady, here's a fucked up story. One lady was recovering from cancer, right? In chemo, at home. Hadn't left the house in months because of COVID and everything. And she's, you know, and these ladies came to her and said, you need to be there and vote or your daughter you know, if you do this, then your daughter will be captain next year. And if you don't, then, you know, she probably won't be made captain. So this lady with cancer, recovering from cancer, showed up at the meeting and voted, against my wife. Didn't even know why she was there. She was just told, you need to do this if you want your daughter, like, to be captain. And then she ran into my wife later on, another one, and was like, apologized. I was like, I had no idea what this was about. Like, she goes, I didn't even know I was voting that night. They just told me I needed to come to the meeting if my daughter wanted to be in the program, that I had to be there. She's like, I'm sorry. My wife lost by like 4 votes. And then one of her friends that were up there when they were doing the count, she gave to my wife like 2 days later. She goes, yeah, I thought it was funny that there was more votes than there were people that voted. And my wife's like, and you didn't say anything, why? She goes, oh, I don't know. I'm like, you need new friends. What the fuck? Bananas, man. That's crazy. But that's what I go through. That's my daily, that's what I have to deal with here at this household. You know, never in my days as a single man or whatever did I deal with shenanigans like this, man, cheerleading shit. I told her, it's because, you know, you vent to me, but you don't vent to these fucking people fucking you over, man. You know? It's crazy. No, it's funny. I'm in this little park, and people are filling up because I think it's like, I don't know, 20 of 5. So people get out of work, and they're all showing up here, and I'm like, I'm yammering away about cheerleading stuff. In my car, my windows are open. But, yeah, you know, hey, life stories. Life stories, man. But I appreciate the question. I wish, there's no answer for you, Ed. No one knows where that money went. It went that line in the pockets of big cheerleading. You know, big pharma is big cheer. Line in the pockets. You know, the golden goose, a big cheer. You know what they're doing. The kids are buying extra fucking Mickey Mouse popsicles down at Disney World for them during competitions. I don't know what they're doing. Fucking bananas. But, all right, I'm going to let you go. And, yeah, you know, I don't know. I hope you guys are enjoying these. I have another one I'm going to do maybe this week. So I think episode 1 had 3 questions. This one might just have 2 because no one ever wrote me anything different. So be a shorter one. But who knows, maybe we'll throw this up over July vacation or something. You know, it's funny, but episode 1 had my son yapping on it at the beginning. And maybe I'll try to get my daughter to yap at the beginning of the second one. She won't be having it, though. She's almost 15. She don't have time for my bullshit. So, but we'll see. But, all right, Ed. That's it. I will talk to you guys on the next question. Yeah. I'm not talking to you. Relax. All right. Bye. Later. Check, 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 check. Trees here. Early in the morning, people. It is, what time is it? It's 5 a.m. 5 a.m. in the morning. I am backing out of my driveway. That was me clicking my seatbelt. And off to work. Same morning's my early day. So, kind of blows. It's funny, I used to work nights for like 20 something years. And now I've been doing like a regular shift for, I don't know, less than 10 years. But now if I have to get up anytime before like 7, I'm just like, oh. I'm like a kid in high school. Like I sit on the end of the bed staring at my feet for 20 minutes before I can get moving. It's brutal. But I don't know, we're back. Questions for Trees. Yeah. Hold on here. Ooh, speed bumps. Let me pull up the questions. By questions, I mean all one of them that I have here in front of me. And hopefully we can knock this out before I get to my morning Dunkin' Donuts rest stop. You know what I mean? I mean, I could continue the questions as I walk in there with my little fucking lapel mic on, talking to myself. You know, I am bold enough to maybe do that through a drive-thru, but not, I don't think I'm bold enough to wait in line at a Dunk's with people around me and actually talk like a lunatic. So, whatever. So here we are. I'm pulling up my questions now. I'm gonna, like, luckily it's early in the morning, there's no one out on the road but me right now, a Saturday morning. So I'm gonna read this dangerously off my phone as I drive. And I don't know why my windshields are fogged up. Why are they fogged up? What's going on? All right. You ever do that when you're like, back in the day when you'd be going to clubs like late at night, drive home early morning, and your brain just couldn't compute why your windshield was fogging up? You're like, I don't know, I get the heat on, but then everybody's in the car sweating, they're like, turn the heat off, and you're like, fuck, I can't, why won't this thing defrost? The cold, put some AC on the windshield, that works for a little, but then it starts to frost up at the bottom. Never figured it out. Still an adult, and still have problems defrosting my windshield sometimes. And humidity. If you live in a place with humidity, you know what I'm talking about. Fucking wild turkeys in my way here. All right, let me pull up the questions. What do we got here? Questions for trees. We have another one from my man Chase. Chase the night cleaner, as we said before, the night cleaner. I speculated maybe he's a janitor that works at nights. Yo, who knows? I could be totally wrong. You could be like killing homeless people under overpasses at night. And he's like, I'm the night cleaner, cleaning the city. Could be a psychopath. We don't know. We don't know. But he has a question. He says, hey, trees. Chase the night cleaner here. Looking for some more sweet sage advice from the man with deep roots and incredible experience. I mean, he said all true. I can't dispute anything he just said right there. I've got some concerns about my car. This is where it goes downhill. Because, let's see. When it's turned on and sits idle, the engine will run fine. But every few minutes or so, it feels like it's about to stall. Sounds like me. That sounds like me in my everyday life. He says, it's a 2012 under 65K miles travel. I've done an okay job in terms of regular maintenance. Let's say, but the last 2 years with COVID, it's mostly sat in the driveway. I only notice the issue when idling. When I am driving, it isn't noticeable at all. He says, as a CMS master, also true, you are the most qualified person, not true, I can think of to tell me what you predict. Sorry, I'm driving it. What you predict is wrong with this thing. Why do you think my car is almost stalling? Thanks for any help you can offer and for this wonderful show. Cheers. Again, Chase the Night Cleaner. I'm not going to help you there, buddy. I am not. Although I am a CMS master, right? If you were broken down on the side of the road, I don't believe any of my CMS knowledge would help you. And another thing, I've mentioned this before, please don't send questions with any urgency, because I will not be getting back to you in a timely manner. I will be doing this when I can. So, yeah. Hold on. Again, driving here, people. Road concerns. I don't know why there's so many wild turkeys out today. Everywhere, and they're not even like nice looking turkeys, like ones you would be like, maybe I'll pull over and hit it with my car and then bring it home and eat it. No, they're like fucking scraggly eating, goddamn, God knows what they're eating, but I wouldn't touch these birds, you know. But they're everywhere this morning. They're on the road. What's going on here? All right. Where were we? Car almost stalling where it's idling every few minutes. Can't help you. I was never a car guy growing up. Like, I had a friend that was like I was into cars, as in I thought cars were cool, and I had Hot Wheels, and I liked monster trucks and stuff little kids would like. I like car video games because I think they're cool, but under the hood, nothing. I have no. Cause I had a buddy who was at a very young age, like when we were like 10 and stuff. He would like be like working on his dad's car with him and fixing his motorcycle and shit. Like, he understood how an engine worked. I do not understand how an engine, even as an adult, grown man. Right now, like, if you put a gun to my head and said, tell me how a combustion engine works, I'd be like, fuck. Gas, is something, is it vaporized? I don't know, and spark plugs make it go boom, and it, right? It knocks the little pistons up and down, makes the tires go, something. Batteries and fluids in there, all types of stuff going on. But, like, I'd be hard-pressed to really tell you, like, what all the things do. And, it's funny because I grew up in a time, like anybody who's around my age, my era, you know, you grew up in the 80s, 70s, 80s. Like, people working on their own cars was normal. Like, people, like on the weekend, people would be in their driveway with the hood open. And yeah, teenagers would be underneath the car doing shit. You know what I mean? Because you could, like, work on everything. You know, like, one of my buddy's first cars, like, some dude just gave it to him because he was like, it was just sitting on his lawn forever. And we asked, my buddy said, hey, let's stop in here. He goes, I want to ask this guy about this car. And we went in there and the dude was like, dude, if you guys can get this car running, you can and get it out of my lawn, you can have it. And we did. Well, he did. I did not. I stood and held tools. But that's how it was growing up in the 80s. Like, everybody worked on cars. Like, everybody. Except for me. But everybody. And then somewhere around, like, when I was, like, in my early 20s, and I bought, like, my first real car. Not, like, a car for someone's lawn. I bought, like, went to a dealership like an adult and negotiated something. And I got a Camry. Like, a 97 Camry. And, like, you couldn't do anything to it. Like, you'd open it up and you'd be like, what am I looking at? Remember that movie, The Wraith, with Charlie Sheen, when they opened in the hood and they're like, what the fuck is this? I didn't even know, you know? That's what it was like. It was like the shields and plastic covers. And you're like, I just want to change the headlight. And they're like, oh, sorry. Yeah, you have to take the whole engine out with a special Toyota tool to get to that headlight. You're like, fuck. So there was a weird shift where the engines, like, you know what I mean? Like an Apple device. Like, you need, like, special tools and shit. Specific, you know? Like a Nintendo tri-wing screwdriver. Like, so you no longer can just, you know, I'm sure some people can, but most people can't just work on their car on the weekend unless you're building that shit from scratch. But CMS is funny because it has taught me parts of a car. Like, it has for real taught me, like, parts of an engine and where they go, like, which I never knew before, like, what connected to what, you know what I mean? And now, like, I literally was in my father-in-law's, like, backyard. He has, like, not acres, but he has, like, a lot of land out back of the house, and it's, like, fields, and there's one that's kind of like shaped like an hourglass. It's like a field with all, like, tractor stuff, and then there's a little, like, bottleneck, and then it opens up into another little field, and he has, like, a burn pit back there and, like, a fucking big storage container. I don't know what's in there, and wood and shit. But I go back there because it's like he has old wood that I always pillage for, like, projects and stuff. And he has, like, a truck And there's like a car engine sitting on a log or something back there. But I remember going back there and looking at the engine after playing a lot of CMS. And it was funny because I was like pointing all the shit out. I was like, oh, look at that, man. There's that. Oh, yeah, that's there. And I know what's under there. So it has taught me sort of like the parts of a car that I never knew and how they go together. But I don't understand why they go together and why what they do what they do. So I can't help you. When we were young and we had issues with our car like that, we would we'd go to like the AutoZone or whatever, and would buy like the shit as seen on TV. So we'd get like that bottle of shit you dump in your gas tank, you know, supposed to clean your engine. You're like, yeah, supercharging this bitch, fucking putting this in there. Like, we thought we were like, you know, we're gonna take our fucking my buddy's Geo, little Geo car there, and like enter it in the NASCAR after we put a bottle of this dumb gas cleaner in our tank. Like, that's how we fixed our cars. And then if that didn't work, it was just like, whatever. You just drove it until it blew up. Like, I had a car, I think it was like an 84 Riviera. I think it was a Riviera. It was a big ass car. I had one of those big couch seats in the front. I loved it, but it leaked oil. So I always had to keep a case of oil in the trunk, and not kidding, like every day put some oil in it because it would just constantly leak oil. I think about it now, I'm like, that's fucking crazy that I did that. And then I went to Florida with my girlfriend for a few days, and my bonehead brother asked to borrow the car while I was away. I was like, yeah, no problem, just make sure you put oil in it. And he as you can guess, which with most irresponsible drunks, he did not. And I came home, literally came from the airport, got dropped off at my mother's house. You know, I wasn't living at home at the time. And I grabbed my car, proceeded to jump on the highway, and literally like just the most horrific sounds came from the engine. You get on the highway, if you hear that extra noise, and smoke, smelled fire, tires locking up. I was like, what the, pulled over, right? Had to walk on, it was one of those clowns you see walking on the highway. Finally got the car towed to my local shop. It turns out my brother put zero oil in it. And I drove like a giant old car on the highway with zero oil. And as you can imagine, that's not good for an engine that gets very hot. So the engine seized up instantly. So there you go. That's my experience with cars. And I used to take those cars, these shitty cars, and I'd put very expensive stereos in them, because that's what we did. So, you know, I'd have a car where I had to put a case of oil in it a week, and at any moment could burst into flames, but yet I had a $500 blah pump stereo with a, you know, automatic, you know, face plate that would come down, and lights and a bass tube. Because that's what you do when you're 21 and you're an idiot. But I can't help you, Chase. And I'm assuming by now, because this has been a few weeks since this, I don't know the date on this email, but it's been a few weeks, and I can only assume that either your car died or you got it fixed. One of those two things. I mean, I hope you weren't waiting around for this, because who knows when this, this is in June that I'm recording this, but probably won't get used for a while, so... I don't know, but thank you for the question. I don't know how long it's been, 15 minutes. I'm not quite, maybe I can stretch this out somehow until we get Dunkin' Donuts, because you know, we need filler. If anything we need for this show, for this channel, is filler. I'm good at filling shit, but maybe not today. But yeah, thanks, man. Again, didn't, and I the good thing about this segment is I don't think I actually ever get around to helping anybody or answering their questions. It's just really a vehicle for me to tell my stories and feel good about myself and talk myself up, which I'm pretty good at. So keep them coming. Keep them coming. I mean, I don't even, you know, it doesn't have to be that, you know, about you that much, quite honestly. But thank you, Chase, the night cleaner. Continue doing God's work, cleaning up the homeless population at night. And we will, I will catch you on the flip-flop. All right. Later.